Picture this. You just completed a cross-country leg, you're flying over a lake, the afternoon light is perfect, the water is glassy, and your passenger leans over and says, "Can we fly lower?" And you think, "I'm in uncontrolled airspace, there's no traffic around. What's the actual rule here?" I'm pattern on traffic pattern, here on Radio Hangar. And that question is one of the most commonly misunderstood areas of the Federal Aviation Regulations, not because the rule is complicated, but because most students learn just enough to pass the written test and then assume the rest is judgment call territory. It isn't. And today we're going to walk through it together. Quick, thank you to our friends at aviationsoul.com before we get into it. They make challenge coins for every milestone on the path. First, solo. Private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, there's a coin for every moment, worth remembering. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right. Federal Aviation Regulation 91-19, Minimum Safe Altitudes, four sections labeled A through D. They build on each other. Let's read what the regulation actually says and then talk about what it means when you're strapped into an airplane. Section A is the baseline, and it applies everywhere, over any area. The regulation says you must fly at an altitude allowing, if a power unit fails, an emergency landing without undue hazard to persons or property on the surface. That's the rule. And I want you to notice what it does not say. It does not say 500 feet. It does not say 1,000 feet. It asks a question. If the engine quits right now, can you land safely without putting anyone at risk? If the answer is no, you are not legal, regardless of your altitude above terrain. Think about what that means practically. Flying over dense forest where there is nowhere to put down, you have to be high enough to glide to something. The rule is not a number, it is a requirement to answer a question. And that question changes based on where you are, what is below you, and how your airplane glides. A Cessna 172 has a glide ratio of roughly 9-1 in still air. From 1,000 feet above the ground, you can glide about a mile and a half. From 500 feet, you have less than a mile. From 200 feet, you might clear a fence before you're on the ground. The regulation does not give you a specific number for the baseline rule for this exact reason. It tells you to think about your specific situation. Here's something I wish someone had told me in training. Section A is the hardest part of 91.119 to apply because it demands pilot judgment every single flight. Not just in unusual situations, every flight. The other sections give you specific numbers. Section A asks you to think. A lot of pilots stop thinking once they have a number to comply with. Now, Section B, the congested area rule. Over any congested area of a city, town, or settlement, or over any open air assembly of persons, you must fly no lower than 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. Let's take that apart. The 1,000 feet is measured from the highest obstacle, not from the ground. Not from the average rooftop, the highest thing within 2,000 feet of you horizontally. If you are flying over a neighborhood and there is a radio tower at the edge of town that tops out at 400 feet above the ground, your minimum altitude over that congested area is 1,400 feet above the ground, not 1,000. 1,000 above that tower. Students miss the highest obstacle part constantly. They hear 1,000 feet and picture 1,000 feet above the surface. That is not what the regulation says. The number resets based on what is sticking up around you. The 2,000-foot radius is roughly a third of a mile on each side. You need to know what is in that bubble around your aircraft. On a sectional chart, obstacle symbols and altitudes are plotted. On most electronic flight bags, obstacles are visible in the map layer, but you have to actually look. The regulation assumes you know your environment. Now, what counts as a congested area? The Federal Aviation Administration does not define it precisely in the text, and that is intentional. The FAA has consistently interpreted it to mean wherever people, buildings, and activity concentrate in a meaningful way. Courts have upheld enforcement actions against pilots flying over suburban neighborhoods at less than 1,000 feet above obstacles. If it looks like a town, the FAA's position is you treat it like a congested area. The open air assembly language matters too, a crowd at a county fair. A concert in a field, an air show, a high school football game in a rural county. Even if those events are happening in otherwise open terrain, the 1,000-foot above obstacles rule applies because of the assembled group of people. Flying over the crowd at a fly-in at less than the required altitude over that crowd is a violation regardless of what the surrounding countryside looks like. The regulation does carve out an exception for takeoff and landing. 91.19 doesn't apply when you're departing or arriving at an airport. The traffic pattern is designed around those altitudes and has a structured purpose. What the regulation targets is cruising below safe altitudes without a plan. Section C is where things get interesting for people who enjoy flying low over water or open country. Over other than congested areas, you may not operate below 500 feet above the surface, but over open water or sparsely populated areas, you may not operate closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. That is a subtle distinction with a meaningful difference. Over a stretch of farmland with no buildings and nobody around, the 500-foot rule applies from the surface. You are measuring down, but over a lake with a sailboat on it, you are measuring 500 feet from that vessel. If you pass low over a fisherman in a kayak, you may be in violation even if you're 200 feet above the water, because you are within 500 feet of a person. This trips up students on the written test consistently. The question describes open water and asks for the minimum altitude. The answer is not 500 feet above the surface. The answer is 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Same scenario, different rule, different answer. Here is a practical scenario. You are flying along a coastline at 400 feet above the water. The beach looks empty. The water looks empty. Are you legal? It depends. If you are more than 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure in all directions, and the area qualifies as open water or sparsely populated, you may satisfy Section C. But Section A is still running in a single-engine airplane at 400 feet over open water without floats. Can you make an emergency landing without undue hazard if the engine stops right now? That is not a comfortable question. All four sections apply simultaneously. Meeting Section C, numbers does not exempt you from Section A, they layer. The regulation does not give you an either-or, it gives you a series of requirements that all have to be satisfied at the same time. Section D covers rotorcraft. Helicopter operators have additional flexibility to fly altitudes and routes that fixed-wing aircraft could not legally use, provided the operation is conducted without hazard to persons or property on the surface. The without hazard standard still applies. It just gives helicopter pilots the room their missions require. Let me talk about enforcement because this is a regulation that gets enforced. And it gets enforced because violations tend to end one of two ways. A letter from the FAA or a name in a database that a lot of families have had to search. The National Transportation Safety Board accident database has a long record of entries where low-altitude maneuvering flight was cited as a causal or contributing factor. The chain usually looks the same. Pilot wants to look at something. Pilot descends. Pilot gets absorbed in what they are looking at. Something fails, and there's no margin left to fix it. Canyon flying, lake buzzing, showing a passenger their house from the air. Flying under a layer on a cross country when the clearances get tight. These are the situations where minimum altitude violations happen, and where they turn into accident reports instead of enforcement files. There is also FAR 91.13, the careless or reckless operation standard. The two regulations work together. Even if a pilot meets the specific altitude numbers of 91.119, the FAA can still bring an action under 91.13 if the operation created a hazard. They are not mutually exclusive. Flying at exactly 501 feet over an assembled crowd in a way that endangers the people below may technically satisfy the letter of the minimum altitude rule and still result in a certificate action. The regulations are a framework for judgment, not a ceiling height checklist. The reason all of this matters comes down to one idea. Altitude is your emergency option. Every foot you give up on the way down is one less second of decision time if something fails. The traffic pattern is the exception to low-altitude flight, not the model. The traffic pattern is structured around specific altitudes with a specific plan and a specific runway underneath you. When you descend low over a lake because the view is good, you have traded away your margin without any plan to replace it. Now, let me talk about where this regulation gets more complicated in practice. Mountain flying. In mountainous terrain, applying 91.119 demands thinking beyond just altitude above the local surface. A mountain valley with sheer walls on both sides gives you nowhere to land, even if you're 2,000 feet above the valley floor. The section, a question, can you make an emergency landing without undue hazard, may require altitudes well above what the regulation's specific numbers demand. Mountain flying is one of the places where the baseline standard of Section A is genuinely the most restrictive rule in play, not the 1,000-foot number of Section B. I also want to address something students sometimes confuse. Federal Aviation Regulation 9159, the VFR Cruising Altitude Rule, is a separate regulation requiring specific altitudes based on your magnetic course when you are above 3,000 feet above the surface in uncontrolled airspace. Odd thousands plus 500 heading east, even thousands plus 500 heading west. That rule and the minimum safe altitude rule of 91-19 operate independently. You have to satisfy both. The cruising altitude rule is about collision avoidance with other traffic. The minimum safe altitude rule is about your relationship to the terrain and people below you. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot certificate will probe this area on both the written test and the oral examination. The examiner is looking for a pilot who understands that these numbers reflect judgment, not just compliance. A common checkride question sounds like this: you're planning to fly over a small town at 3,500 feet, is that legal? The wrong answers are yes and no. The right answer is, it depends on what the highest obstacle is within 2,000 feet of my route and whether I have a viable emergency landing option below me. The examiner wants you to know what question to ask. One more thing: night flying. 91-19 does not change for night operations. The same numbers apply, but the practical difficulty of applying them changes enormously. At night, you may not be able to see obstacles within 2,000 feet of you. You cannot assess the terrain below you well enough to answer the section, a question with any confidence. At night, the responsible approach is significant additional margin above whatever the regulation requires. Not because the regulation says so, because judgment says so, because Section A is asking you a question you cannot answer well at night and at low altitude. When you're planning a flight, here is how to apply 91.119 before you leave the ground. Look at your route on the sectional. Find the highest obstacle along your path. Over congested areas, your minimum altitude above that obstacle is 1,000 feet. Over open non-congested areas, plan 500 feet above the surface and 500 feet from anything on it. Then ask yourself whether you can make an emergency landing along your entire route if the engine stops. If the terrain below your planned route does not give you a comfortable answer, plan higher. The regulation is the floor. Your judgment is what matters above it. Today's segment drew from the Federal Aviation Regulations and the Aeronautical Information Manual, both at FAA.gov, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, fly high enough to have options. See you next time.